Within Unitarian Universalism, there are a lot of people who have a specific practice, a Buddhist practice, having been brought up Jewish in a cultural sense. And so when we are looking at Unitarian Universalist prayers and writings, we can expect any number of backgrounds to inform those. Joel Miller is a UU colleague currently serving in Massachusetts, and he wrote this very short reading to introduce some themes for my sermon. Joel wrote, "We all know loss and pain. Let none of it divide us. In the rising sun today, let us do together what we cannot do alone. Roll away the stones that close our hearts." So, when you wake up from a dream and you remember all of it so vividly, there's one school of thought for dream interpretation is that you look at the events and the characters that you encountered in the dream and you understand that all of it is you. The person in the dream that scared you might be a part of you that you wish you didn't have. The person in the dream that you felt sad about might be something about you that you miss, and so on. Well, Easter is like that. It's like a dream that we hear interpreted over and over the years. There's a piece of each character of the Easter story inside of us. It doesn't matter what church we came up in or if we did at all. The characters of the Easter story are worldwide. Even the Judas who betrayed, even the risen Christ who gives hope. There's Easter inside all of us, and the resurrection experience, that idea of rebirth, is available to all of us if we choose to make it so. In the Easter story, Jesus collects his followers, called disciples, the way that we collect our friends, the way that we enlarge our families. Just as today, Jesus lived in times when the government did not represent everybody. And so it was tense times. The government officials were Romans who had one system of governing, while the people of Jerusalem were used to a different way of running their town. In fact, Jerusalem had many types of government because you followed your religious leader. This is why when taxes had to be collected for things like keeping up good roads, Jesus told his followers to render unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. God's not going to fix your roads, but Caesar might. Matthew and Mark and Luke all have this account of Jesus telling Jewish people to exist within the non-religious world peaceably and remain faithful to their religion at the same time. The first lesson, then, about the Easter story is that there will always be discrepancies between a government and the people being governed, and we owe it to ourselves to do what we can to help our government work for us. In modern times, by showing up at elections, writing letters, staying resistant to bad rules, and letting them know what we want. While Jesus was collecting his disciples, they traveled through towns whose governors were different from many of the people who were being governed. This caused stress in the community. When Jesus and his friends were gathered for any reason, whether it was a religious meeting or not, it made people nervous. Just like today, some peaceable gatherings make others nervous. According to Luke, Jesus talked to his friends about how they should be together. Rare moment where I give a scripture passage. Luke 6:35-38. "But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. Today, when groups gather to meet about anything, immigration rights, race relations, whether to change laws about fair wages, Planned Parenthood opening or staying open, there are going to be people who get nervous. Their gatherings are about trying to change the way things get done, and you know we don't like change. Gathering in groups was allowed in Jesus' time, just like ours, but still, it wasn't always peaceful. Nonviolent, yes, but not peaceful. A gathering is not a riot. It is not a mob, but sometimes it gets talked about like that. Jesus taught us to stand up for justice and to behave in a loving way while we do that. Now, you may have noticed, I mentioned a minute ago, Planned Parenthood, women's clinics. For all of Easter's lessons about rebirth and making miracles, women were, and still are, at the center. Easter has a lot to do with women and their love for each other, the men who love them, how women were treated and thought of, how they were expected to act, and their roles were a big issue back then, and it still is now. Every Easter, I think about the women who showed up to care for Jesus when his life was ending. They were relegated to caregiver roles, not leadership roles, and so they were closest to Jesus at troubling times. They ministered to him. They were the ones who cared for his body and discovered the empty tomb. They were the first evangelists. The men didn't believe them, but they spoke the truth anyway. The men they told were the ones who are remembered and held in honor. When we think about important jobs like ruling a state or a country and giving birth or caring for people, these are not only equally important, they're essential. It doesn't make sense that back then, just like now, women were not given the same level of respect as men, and they were not entrusted to make their own choices about their lives as much as men were and still are. Jesus believed that women were equal to men and that they were as capable of being religious followers as men were. In Luke 11, an anonymous woman called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." And Jesus did not deny that his own mother was blessed, but rather he responded that the real blessing is given to those who hear the word of God and obey it. Jesus told us back then and still shows us that a woman's spiritual worth is based on her response to the divine. Women are saved by faith, not by being obedient or bearing children or marrying the right guy. Sorry, Dingus Day. When it comes to the actual story of Easter, inside of us, there's a little bit of each character from the Easter story. There's the regular Jesus before he was sentenced to death on the cross. Inside each of us is the person who wants to stand up for goodness, justice, and mercy. Jesus' plan was to stand up for a new, different way of liberation that people could follow. He was going to do this by peaceful means, not by war. His idea was to introduce faithful Jews and anybody else who wanted to change their ways to a new way of living. But his own religion feared him because most of them did not want to change. Each of us has a bit of zealot inside of us who doesn't want to give up the old ways. It's hard to accept change, and sometimes we get mad at the messenger. Also, there were people who did not believe his word was true because there were a lot of folks purporting to be the Savior. There were people who were Egyptian magicians who could do the same kind of things that Jesus did. His were called miracles, theirs were called magic. He called himself the Son of God, claiming these miracles in God's name, not as magic. And this upset Jewish leaders His good works should have been proof enough, but there were a lot of healers. Not everyone believed Jesus was the real deal. So inside each of us is a doubter. We should cherish our doubts, look for truth, but not be blind to miracles. During Passover, Jesus got very mad at what was happening in the temple. The temple was not just building, it wasn't just a building like our beautiful temple. It was huge. It was more like a city block. It had courtyards all around it. It's like walking into a downtown area with different parts when things happen. Have you traveled to another country and had to change your money? You ever, anyone have to do that? Or we just all use credit cards now? During Passover, which is called Pesach in Hebrew, religious Jews were not supposed to be changing Roman money into Jewish money. The reason for this is that Roman and Greek money had pictures of people. Caesar, for one, on it. And Jews do not allow what they call graven images in the temple. It's like when we lived in Elkhart and the Amish and Mennonites did not allow pictures up anywhere. They don't allow photos, and the Jews did not either at that time, because the practice of graven images could lead to them being worshipped like God. So inside each of us are beliefs, religious or otherwise, and we get angry sometimes when somebody mocks our beliefs or when theirs are given more power than ours. Jesus got really angry, overturned tables, told them all to get out and stop conducting business in a holy place. The other pieces of this that made him mad is that money changers were allowed to charge for their services. Like banks charge for interest, money changers were allowed to charge for their service. And they were especially cruel to people who were poor, like old people whose families didn't help them, or widows who didn't have husbands or brothers to protect them. The money changers accepted doves instead of money, like paying with free food when you don't have money. Jesus was mad because women and the poor were being taken advantage of. They had to go out and get these doves and bring them in and trade them in the temple, in a business that should not even be recognized during Jewish law, during Jewish High Holy Days. Inside each of us is the social justice person who protests those who need protection from being treated badly. The Jewish leaders who made money from turning the temple into a place of business, they were angry. They wanted to punish him, but they didn't know how to find him. It was Pesach, and thousands of faithful Jews were in town. The locals had to know who to arrest because they didn't know what Jesus looked like. One of his friends, Judas, walked up to kiss him on the cheek so that the Jewish guards would know who to arrest. For 2,000 years, people have used the name Judas to mean that person who betrays a friend, which he did. But what if we looked at Judas with mercy? Judas did keep the story going according to plan. An argument could be made for his having a preordained role. Think about the time you did something wrong, but a valuable lesson or event happened because of it. We all have the capability to act against a friend or against our own conscience. Forgiveness is the important part of making a mistake. The betrayer has to ask for it, and the betrayed must give it. If everything just went great all the time, we wouldn't learn as much. Ask for forgiveness when you do something wrong. That's the Judas lesson. Give forgiveness is the Jesus lesson. The Jewish guards gave Jesus to the local Roman guards so that they would not be responsible for punishment. Jesus was put on trial in a non-religious court. He was seen as a traitor, either because his actions in the temple were against the Roman government, or because some of the lectures he had given about peaceful government scared the local lawmakers. Their leader was named Pilate, and he set aside his own thoughts to listen to the people. He gave the people what they wanted, and forever now he is seen as the person who put Jesus to death. While his case is extreme, each of us who listen to those we serve, rather than acting on our own privately held beliefs, we will continually learn a lesson from Pilate. Whatever the actual charge against Jesus, he was killed for his actions. His mother and his friend, both of them were named Mary, were with him as he died. Inside each of us is a person who suffers grief and loss when we lose somebody we love. And this leads us to why everybody has resurrection inside of us, even us pagans. This Easter, I lift up all the women's roles, the women who stayed with Jesus, ministered to him, and were the first disciples to tell of his miraculous rebirth. Their stories give all women after them the honor that has so often been denied them. But I also lift up the ability to give hope to people who need it, and all of us have that. This is why the biblical Easter story is so important today. Everyone we meet is just like us, and just like the Easter characters, capable of great love and forgiveness, all trying to live our values. Easter and hope is inside each one of us, and when we let it out, there is resurrection and rebirth all around us. Blessed be and amen.